Welcome back. Episode 2, Blow the Whistle.
First start last week's picks, but we're gonna bounce back strong, hammer those out. But it's also a big show too.
We got a big show for you guys today. We're gonna be talking a little fantasy football with we got a guest sit down. Well, not sit down. I guess we are sitting down. Phone interview with Ray.
Sit down.
Yeah, it's a sit down. Phone interview with Ray Santo. Ray is a he's a very, very prideful fantasy owner, and he does his research. And
nerd.
Yeah, fantasy nerd, if you will. And Ray came with his research today. We'll play that interview for you. And we also have our guest picker of the week is Tyler, my big brother.
The biggest Vol fan I know.
Second biggest Vol fan I know, only behind me, Majeski. He's going to be giving us his five picks.
And he has some good breakdown. I was ready to place these bets right now. If there was a window here, I'd be in trouble.
He's going to be – he'll get you fired up, so – keep the credit cards away until at least after.
Seriously.
Yeah. Stay off the books. Don't, you know, put the phone down. Don't contact your bookie until at least after the show. But Tyler comes with the information back in his five picks of the week.
And then we'll finish the show with our picks and then kind of go over some team totals later on too after we talk to Ty.
Yeah. So we're going to be – so we got a jam-packed show for you guys today. And we'll get this out of the way right now. Yes, Tito – Tito's handmade picks last week. Steve Schmidt won with a 3-2 record.
Not a strong record, but hey, you can't.
A win nonetheless. He's still in the positive.
Yeah, a win's a win.
So we have some. We have to redeem ourselves, and like Eric said, it ain't going to be easy with Ty this week. But we're going to get started with our fantasy football segment first, and we have our sit down interview with Ray Santo, kind of discussing a bunch of topics, and here it is. All right, and we're joined now with Ray Santo, diehard Steeler fan stuck here in Northeast Ohio. Ray, how's it going?
It's going great. Excited for a big year.
Yeah. What's up, Ray? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric, thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you on, Ray. So what we're going to do here, this is our first show kind of discussing fantasy football. And Ray, being a you're a big fantasy football guy and kind of being a Steeler fan, the news kind of broke earlier today about Le'Veon Bell probably not being there week one and potentially later. Right. How does that impact this Browns-Steelers game from a fantasy perspective? I mean, I know right now on FanDuel, James Conner is a $5,000. He's valued at $5,000 on FanDuel. Of a tempting play.
What do you see out of him points-wise as like a ceiling and then maybe even a low point for what you expect out of Conner?
Well, There's a couple different things that go into it. James Conner obviously looked great in the preseason, looked really good. Le'Veon Bell is unique. He has a unique skill set. So to say that this game plan is going to be the exact same thing that was in place for Le'Veon Bell, I mean, you would have to be ignorant to believe that. It's going to take, more than likely, the Steelers have Jalen Samuels there who can catch the ball. They also have Stephen Ridley there who really could be a goal line back type. So it might be more of a three-back committee. I do really like the fact that he's $5,000 on FanDuel. I'm just looking at my lineup right now. And, you almost have to play him there. Just for the sheer sake that the Steelers should be moving the ball at least still. And, he should be in position to score. If not, FanDuel is PPR. So, he's at least 10 to 15 points. And for that price range of $5,000, he gives you a touchdown. That is huge. You do have to watch from an overall fantasy perspective on the game. Again, Le'Veon does so many things. You have to watch how he affects Roethlisberger. You have to watch how he affects Antonio Brown. Ben had a meeting at a press conference right after practice today, or actually right before practice, said the Cleveland Browns defense, probably the best defense he's going to play all year, and we do play Jacksonville, and he acknowledged that. So, might be a little bit of a sleepy start. I know everyone's saying, oh, this is a cupcake game, for these fantasy players, for the Steelers. I'm a little more on the hesitant side. I like Juju. I just feel like, he's a Hines Ward guy, plays big in these Cleveland games. I could see the Steelers getting inside the 10 and like running like a, one of those inside shovels to Juju or something like that for touchdowns.
Absolutely.
I see in this game.
Juju's valued at $6,500, and surprisingly enough, I thought this was a little bit overpriced for Josh Gordon being $6,900, considering they kind of came out and said he's going to be on a snap count. Kind of give us your thoughts on, Juju's a better play here, wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely think Juju's a better play.
At least this week.
Gordon's not start, but you know, I don't believe in Tyrod Taylor. You know, he might not turn the ball over, but I don't see him gunslinging it everywhere. You have to understand that now with the new offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, this is Ben's guy. He's been with him 15 years. With this Le'Veon Bell absence, if anything, hopefully, it just, you know, it might be Ben running no huddle, literally, the entire game. I mean, we're going to need to wake up. And so I just like Juju way better. If they're priced the same, that's a no-brainer.
Right.
That's what's weird to me. But I think it's how you look at the game, too, because some people could say $6,900 for Josh Gordon and be like, that's not going to happen. But others would be like, they're going to be behind all game and just throw it up to him and get some yards and get some numbers up there. So it's all in how you perceive it, too. But I would say the Browns are 5-0, or the under is 5-0 when playing the Steelers at home. And 11 of 13, the unders hit in that game. 11 of the past 13.
I throw trends out the window with this game. I see this is a completely different Browns team.
Right? Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't think the Browns are going to win, but I'm saying this is a completely different Browns team. I tend to agree with you about Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. You know, being a Tyrod is a conservative quarterback. He's not going to be. Josh Gordon's not going to, you know, have a career day, especially versus Steelers with Tyrod Taylor being the quarterback, just coming back fresh.
You can actually remember Week One last year. You know, Deshaun Kizer actually played pretty well.
His best game of the year.
A lot of the Steelers even commented that he had moxie. He looked good. You know, Deshaun Kizer, unlike he did the rest of the season, he beat himself and the Browns all season. He didn't do it in that game. You know, we basically didn't have Le'Veon Bell in that game. I think the game plan for the Steelers is going to be no huddle, spread huddle, try to get the up-tempo. But I do like, you know, if anything, if you're going to roster a Browns guy, and this probably going to come up a little later for me too, I mean, I'm looking Chubb or Hyde or Duke Johnson.
Yeah, Hyde and Duke Johnson, I think, are valued similar at right around $6,000. Which
you got to remember, there's Todd Haley there. That he's like the dink and dunk king. You know what I mean?
Especially with the dink and dunk king at quarterback too. The dink and dunk prince.
Yeah, they're made for each other.
They're not just going to launch it up to Josh Gordon and you know, I could see Jarvis Landry and Bubbles and. So I think it might be a little bit of a slower fantasy game than people think, honestly. I mean,
I 100% agree.
I don't know if I really like anyone.
All right, well, Ray, moving along here. We got a couple oars here. We're going to give you two guys, and you tell us who is the better play of the two. Are you ready? It's going to be rapid fire.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we'll start off with Carlos Hyde, valued at $5,900 versus Royce Freeman, Denver's running back at Seattle, $6,000.
I would go Royce Freeman all day. I mean, six touchdowns at Josh Gurley. I mean, that was, and they haven't shown anything that they've Royce Freeman.
Yes, Royce Freeman.
Yes.
All right. So Alex Collins, $6,700. Kenyon Drake, $6,600. Alex Collins versus Buffalo. Kenyon Drake versus Tennessee.
Alex Collins versus Buffalo. Kenyon Drake versus Tennessee. Oh, jeez. I mean, I probably like. That's tough just because, you know, I think Baltimore might steamroll Buffalo, but I guess I might go Drake because I don't think Tennessee can stop anybody either. And I still think Collins is on the talent level of Drake, and Drake's going to catch some passes. I think you still have Buck Allen and guys like that in Baltimore, which I really don't see in Miami besides Frank Gore, but I'd go Drake.
Yeah, it kind of surprised me. Like all the start-em and sit-ems I saw, Alex Collins was like their breakout guy this week.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I tend to lead towards Drake myself.
That's crazy. Yeah.
All right, well, moving right along, Marquise Goodwin, $6,400 at Minnesota. Emmanuel Sanders, $6,300 versus Seattle, at Seattle.
What's the price differential again?
$100, so pretty much equal.
All day, I'm not taking anyone versus Minnesota.
Right, yeah. I mean, Seattle, and that's not the same old Seattle that we're all used to.
No, there's no.
And they don't play well on the road, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, moving right along, and then Peyton Barber, he's kind of getting a lot of attention lately, at New Orleans, valued at $5,600 versus Kansas City Chief Sammy Watkins at the Los Angeles Chargers, valued at $6,500.
First one, the running. Who was the first one?
Peyton Barber.
Peyton Barber, especially because because FanDuel now has the flex.
Right.
So, I mean, that, you know, if you're going all the way, like I put James Conner in my flex at 5,000, but I mean, if that was the conversation there, I mean, I'm going with Peyton Barber. I don't think the Tampa's going to be competitive, but I mean, he could get some, you know, some garbage stuff. Much better option.
Okay, moving along here then.
Let me ask you one real quick, Ray, too. So my fantasy team was screwed by Le'Veon Bell, your boy here.
Me too. I took him four.
Yeah, okay. Same. So I need to know, do I start Chris Carson against the Broncos in Denver or Adrian Peterson at the Arizona Cardinals?
Peterson.
I don't know. That's tough. Everyone is so high on Carson.
You know, because Seattle, I mean, they were so, like, you don't know what running back they're going to play because Penny is supposedly healthy.
Yeah.
You know, both of those are not good running football teams. I guess I would go with Carson just because if you look at, like, things like ADP, like average draft position, like on Yahoo and things like that, Carson was much higher, and I would probably just go with my gut.
Yeah, I think that's the plan for me right now. I just heard word out of Seahawks camp, too, that they're talking nothing but good things throughout camp, and they expect big things.
Nasty. I mean, that's probably pretty easy. I'd probably go with Carson. I got screwed by Bell. I didn't get screwed. I think Bell eventually will show up. I mean, sucks what's happening.
No, he'll be – as a Steeler fan – I was going to say, as a Steeler fan, it's not all bad. I mean, they hold the ship above water. When he gets back, you guys make a good push with him fully healthy and ready
to go. Fresh, ready to go. That's probably what's going to happen.
Seriously.
All right, Ray. I guess moving right along, who's the guy on FanDuel this week you have no problem spending top dollar on? Who's the guy, like, you know, money's not an option. You got to have him on your roster.
There's a couple, but I'll go with my number one. I think you got to go with Kamara versus Tampa.
That's my boy. Absolutely.
You know, that's number one. It's no, Tennessee volunteer, you know, power T. I mean, it's a little bit different than the power T for sure. Now, there is no Ingram there, you know, so that's going to be an interesting dynamic because, you know, they fed off of each other, but I still think I would go Kamara. He's the no-brainer. Probably followed up. I really like Deshaun Watson, and I really like Fournette.
Okay. So they give us three there. That's good. And now, going forward, this is going to be our last question here for you. Who is the sleeper that you see week one that everyone's going to be running to the waiver wire to get going into week two? Who's the guy this week? Maybe you can help us out. Give us a guy that someone can roster this week before they hit the waiver wire.
We're talking standard leagues here. I think it could be one of three of the Browns running backs. I just have this thing with Todd Haley. And I think that not a lot of people drafted, you know, Nick Chubb or, you know, they may be – I don't think they dropped Hyde or anything, but, you know, they may have been drafted away. But I think Nick Chubb could be available, and I think he might vulture some touchdowns. I think Nick Chubb could be one. I also like John Ross. I know he was, like, less than 30 or 40%. He was available in off our wire.
Yeah, I like the John Ross pick. I could see him standing out, especially week one going off against the Colts.
Well, he is so cheap. He's like $5,000 on FanDuel. I mean, Indianapolis doesn't have a heartbeat on defense.
No, they don't.
I mean, if they send one double to AJ and you could get John Ross like wide open and he's healthy.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some points scored in that game for sure.
All right, Ray. Hey, thanks for joining the show, Ray. And, you know, tweet at the show, BTW_pod. We'll make sure we get some of your content on the Twitter page so people can follow it.
BTW_pod,
P-O-D.
P-O-D. Thanks for having me. Listen, we want to do a weekly thing or something. I love it. It's great that you guys do this. It's definitely, I would be super interested in continuing to do it.
We'll see if Chris Carson outplays Peterson.
Yeah, we'll see how your picks.
Right. Got to hit on some picks to get me back on. But you know, for all you Le'Veon Bell guys out there, I'm one of them. Don't worry, he will be there. But in the meantime, you know, have a little bit of a backup plan. But the one thing that I just gotta say is before I leave, is you don't expect this to happen to a franchise like the Steelers. You know, this happened like the Bucks.
Get out. All right, we're gonna sign you off right now. Good talking to you, Ray.
Thanks for joining us, Ray.
All right, Ray. Good stuff there by Ray. A lot to digest and a lot to think about.
Yeah, this year I'm going to actually try to get in a little bit more into FanDuel, but help me with my fantasy team a little bit, I guess, reaffirming the thought I had of Chris Carson over Adrian Peterson. So.
Yeah, well, you know, the one thing that I thought was interesting, that the Nick Chubb sleeper pick, I mean, I guess the sleeper pick is one of those things that's obviously, if they're not rostered right now, it's going to be something you're kind of questioning.
Yeah.
I think Nick Chubb is I loved him at Georgia.
Yeah. No, but I just can't have a sleeper pick be a, a back in a third down backfield or in a three back backfield.
Right. And I think that, and personally, I think that's kind of like, if you have three like legitimate running backs, why not use all three?
Yeah.
And I think Carlos,
I think they will.
And I think they will too. But right now, I mean, from what I see, I mean, I
don't know why we're saying that though, because they had one last year and they didn't use him. So actually, I guess they used two, but
who, the Crow?
Yeah, that's the one.
No,
that's,
but I think Carlos, I personally think Carlos Hyde is a clear cut number one there. And I think they could use all three. Wouldn't be surprised. It's going to be more of like a Nick Chubb might spell Carlos Hyde every now and again. But I mean, Duke Johnson's still going to be the third down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I mean, they're going to have uses for each one of them. And somebody's going to be the touchdown guy. And it's just going to, whoever shakes that out. Or
it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Also, and I do agree with him about Josh Gordon. $6,900 is way too much for him. I think maybe week three, week four. I mean, I there's not a bigger Josh Gordon fan you'll find than me. I think
I thought you were a Jeff Gordon fan.
I'm a Mark Martin fan.
Okay, sorry.
Jeff Gordon, though, $6,900, too much just for week one, just considering the fact that...
They just said he's on a snap count, automatically.
He's on a snap count. His hamstring might not be 100% despite what he says.
He's not smoking before games anymore, this could be... Yeah, you have no idea what you're getting out of that bag.
You don't know what to expect, but I just think it's too much, and I don't know. It just seems to me, week one, it's not worth the risk. It's too much money. If he was maybe $5,900, I might argue otherwise, but $6,900, I mean, he's one of the higher-end paid receivers on FanDuel.
Yeah, I'm going against him in fantasy this week, so I'm actually excited about glad.
I mean, I put it this way. Wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he makes one or two big plays because he has that big play capability. But I'm not banking on it.
Wouldn't be surprised if he gets suspended before that, honestly. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. that'll be an interesting game all around.
We're going to pick it later, too,
We're going to pick it later. But the fact that Le'Veon Bell is out, I think, is just... It gives the game a whole new dynamic.
Yeah, no, I agree.
We're talking about one of maybe the best back in the NFL.
Things have been slowly trending in the Browns' direction for a while. Like, slowly, okay, maybe if this happens, then I'll bet them. If this happens, then I'll bet them.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, that's just one more thing. Le'Veon Bell didn't even show up. It's Wednesday.
Right. And you heard what Ray said about what Ben Roethlisberger said about the defense being, it might be the best defense they face all season.
I will say this, though, that down the stretch the Browns defense, yeah. Like I was saying, the under was 5-0 in the last, five games the Steelers have played in Cleveland. And then 11 of the 13 last games have all gone under, too. So
yeah.
I think that's a good pick, and we'll get into those picks later. But we have somebody that has some picks.
Yeah, we have someone that has some picks already set in stone. And as mentioned earlier, that is Tyler Majewski, and Tyler came through with his research on these picks. So here's that interview for you right now. And we're joined now with Tyler Majewski, my older brother, who was also pretty critical of our picks last week in our entire segment. So, Ty, happy to have you on.
Hey, you know, first week, sometimes it's hard to get out of up ahead of Vegas. But, yeah, I'm glad to be here. So thanks for having me, guys.
What's up, Ty?
Hey, so Ty, you know the rules. You got five picks, NFL or college. I know you said you're primarily thinking about going with the college game right now. So what's your five picks? Where do you want to lead off with?
You know, I'm sticking in the NCAA. Watched a lot of football last week, and I just feel, you know, some of the games that I saw, along with some of the research that I did, I have five picks. I feel pretty good about them, and just going to get started. So, going to start my first two picks, stick it in the SEC. You know, the SEC, I feel the last couple of years, there's been that debate. You know, everyone knows that Kyle and I are big SEC guys, but, you know, is the SEC still the power conference that it was, even though, you know, Bama's the best team in the country, you know, year in and year out. But, you know, this past week, the SEC just performed outstanding, you know, 9-3 against the spread. But, you know, there's one statistic that I thought was unbelievable. And the conference as a whole had a margin of 80 points, plus 80 points against the spread. And, I mean, when you think about what a spread is, and it's supposed to, you know, level set the game to zero, for the conference to go plus 80, I just thought it was outstanding. So, you know, my first two picks, staying in the SEC. In the first one, I'm going to go with Bama. You know, last week, I thought they were incredible. I think, you know, the quarterback Tua, he's just an absolute stud. And this isn't the Bama team that I think we're accustomed to seeing in the last, you know, the last several years. I think, you know, historically against these non-Power 5 teams, Kyle, they're not great. Their last 17 games, they've only covered the spread four times. But this isn't that same team. You know, you watch, even in this past game, when Jalen Hurts was in that game, you know, they're running, they're taking dink and dunk passes. but they're not making mistakes and they're winning with defense. But when Tua's in there, you know, this, Eric, you're going to love this. This guy, he's got that Brett Favre mentality.
No, I love Tua. I think he's so much better than Jalen Hurts, and he gives that offense, like you said, a dimension that they haven't had dating back to, like, whatever I can remember. I mean, AJ McCarron was a stud NCAA quarterback, but, I mean, he couldn't hold Tua's jock right now.
I mean, I think Saban's a great coach, but I think his best accomplishment so far at Alabama is making the analysts even think there's a quarterback controversy because it's so obvious he's the better player.
By far.
But,
he doesn't want to lose Hurts. That's the thing. He's worried about keeping a great team. They're obviously a better team with Jalen Hurts.
Ty, I will say this. Bama is 0-6 against the spread following any neutral site games. So just,
you know what?
Just a little something.
Honestly, Eric, I see this being one of those 55-0, 55-7 games. I think they're just going to stomp Arkansas State. And, you know, they have so much competition still with this Bama team. And, you know, their backups are 5-stars.
Yeah,
and
no. I agree. Like, the potency of that offense, they can put up 21 in under 2 minutes. So, I mean, it's a great possibility.
So, we got Alabama.
Alabama. And then, you know, next SEC game, going with Georgia. You know, I think – in this game, I think the most critical component is Georgia's offense. And, you know, I just think I absolutely love Fromm. I think he's going to go, you know, and he's just going to tear up the South Carolina defense. You know, South Carolina, in their previous, you know, couple years of SEC games, they haven't scored well. You know, most of their games have hit the under. And I think Georgia's got a solid defense. But I just think that South Carolina is not going to be able to hold their offense. And with that being said, Georgia is also 3-0 in the last three games against South Carolina against the spread with a 20-point average margin of victory.
Wow.
So I just see them continuing that. I think they're going to get that up to 4-0, and, you know, they might even win by 20. But I see Georgia going into South Carolina and just handling their business.
I agree completely.
Yeah, and to harp on what you said, too, about South Carolina, 14 of their last 18 games have hit the under. So they don't put up a lot of points, and I have to agree with you about Will Muschamp. I have no confidence with him as a head coach. So I have to say, so far, I'm with you on two picks. But all right, Ty, keep going. Are you sticking with the SEC, or where are you heading next?
Moving out. We're moving out west on this next one. And this is a game that the more I look at it, the more I like it. But Stanford at home against USC. You know, this opened at 3.5, and it's you know, bet up to 5 points right now. But, you know, I just – when we look historically the last couple of years, Stanford has been a very good September team, especially at home. And USC has really struggled on the road when it comes to playing against the spread. 3-14 in their last 17 September road games. So that's a big number.
Wow.
But I think on Stanford, I love their skill position players. You know, Costello, quarterback, I read a couple articles on this kid in the last couple of weeks. One thing that he is absolutely great at is reading defenses and finding the one-on-one matchups. And that receiver he has, I don't know if you guys saw the game last week, but that white
I did,
side,
yeah. He was a huge receiver, but they just kept throwing it up. Those DBs got molested.
He's an absolute stud. He reminds me so much of Dez Bryant at Oklahoma State. He just goes up, he high points the ball.
He's huge.
I think he had like 200 yards, 3 touchdowns last week.
On 6 receptions.
They're throwing the ball downfield, but – you know, the factor in this game that didn't work for Stanford last week was a run game. You know, obviously Bryce Love is going to be a Heisman front runner, and they really kept him in check last week. But, you know, I did see that San Diego State had 8 guys or more in the box, almost 85% of the plays on scrimmage last week.
Yeah, I took San Diego State plus 14, and I was watching the game, and I'm like, this is fine. They're going to keep it close to the end because Bryce Love couldn't do anything. And then they just kept chucking it up, and they just kept bringing the pressure, and they never adjusted. It's like these guys need help on the back end, but they just kept throwing it up. I love David Shaw. I think he's still an underrated coach, but I think he's one of the best.
I like
that. Yeah, you know, the things that USC struggled with last week, you know, their defense gave up 300 rushing yards. I mean, if I'm Love, you know, I'm looking like this is going to be a game that I'm going to bounce back and kind of get back in that potential Heisman conversation. But also, you know, they kind of came out of the gate slow. Their defense didn't look good at USC, and even their offense kind of sputtered a little bit. True freshman quarterback. You know, I just think going into Stanford, and, you know, plus this is a revenge game. You know, USC won last year.
Yep.
Obviously, they don't have Darnold anymore. He's wearing that gangrene New York. But
that's right.
God
shout out
him.
Jets. But, no, I really think Stanford, I could see this being a double-digit win. You know, I really think the more I look at this one, I really like the Cardinals there.
All right. Well, nice. Moving on. What's your last two picks? What are you going with here?
Last two picks. So this next pick is my, if I had to give one lock of the week, this is it. It's Oklahoma at home versus UCLA. I think Oklahoma's a powerhouse. You know, obviously everybody knows the talent that this team has, but coming into this year, you know, the big question was, you know, Baker Mayfield, is he as good as advertised? Is he kind of a product of the system? You know, is it a combination of both? But I think that that quarterback, that Murray, you know, he looked outstanding. He was accurate.
Confident.
He was athletic. You know, we saw that play where, you know, I think it was on the top 10. He ran like 80 some yards to gain 20. But, you know, so I think he's going to be a perfect fit for this offense. But what impressed me most, guys, about Oklahoma was their defense. They looked unbelievable. You know, last year, I loved watching them play last year with Baker, but it's like they could never get off the field. That defense was so unreliable. And they were playing a good Florida Atlantic team, a team that did very well last year, especially playing against the spread. And they blew them out.
That was so, Eric, you know, that was Eric's pick. Eric liked Florida Atlantic, actually.
At one point, I did like Florida Atlantic.
Well, I think they're a good team. And, you know, obviously, you know, UCLA, they stink. You know, they lost at home last week versus Cincinnati. This is going to be another blowout win for Oklahoma. They're going to win by at least 40. And we're going to be talking about this team for the rest of the year because they're going to be a college football playoff team.
I like that. I like that.
I love Lincoln Riley. Yeah, yeah, they're going to score points.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. They're a well-oiled machine at this point. And I guess rounding it out, who are you going with last for your fifth
and final pick? I guess this one's for Eric. I'm taking Florida Atlantic.
okay.
I think last week for them was a little bit of a fluke. They got off to a terrible start at Oklahoma. You know, this is a team that's built to run the football, and they got down so fast, so early that
takes you out of your game. Yeah,
it took them out of the game, and you know they're playing an Air Force team that is last year was the worst team in the country at stopping the run. They gave up over 6 yards per carry, and, you know, that Singletary at Fort Atlantic. This kid's a stud. He had almost 2,000 yards, 32 touchdowns. You know, I just think that, you know, they're gonna get to the run game. They're going to establish the ground and pound early and often, and I just think they're going to control the ball. They're going to control the game. This is going to be at least a 14-point win for Fort Atlantic.
The only thing I could think of is, like, Lane just holding off because, like, these games don't mean – just get the conference championship – and start playing your guys then, because they started slow last year, actually really slow. They lost to Buffalo.
But I can see Lane. I can see Lane also playing for like the national stage though, too. I mean, I don't know if winning a conference championship is as important to him. But
well, he was on the stage last week and he never showed up.
Well, he's feeling some pressure this week. He has to after that performance. So I just think they're going to come out. It's going to be a different team week to week. And, you know, I think they're going to take care of business in this one.
My only problem with that pick is the fact that you picked Lane Kiffin.
What's not to like? As much as anybody, but that just shows you that I'm being objective in my picks. I'm looking for the money out there for everybody to get.
There you go.
Hey, we like that.
All right. Well, so the recap really quick. We got Alabama, Georgia,
Stanford,
Oklahoma, and Florida Atlantic. All right. Well, so Ty, tweet your picks in at BTW pod, underscore pod?
Yeah.
BTW underscore pod. And you can follow Ty on Twitter at TMajeski10, but his picks will be there. And again, if anyone else wants to tweet any picks at us, be sure to tweet at BTWPod. Yeah, Eric.
I was going to just say, you have what would Steve finish with last week? Did he go 4-1?
Did Steve go 4-1?
No, I think he went 3-2.
3-2.
3-2. So you don't have a whole lot to, you know, go up against. But
hey, it sounds like you got some winners. So, you know, 3-2, if you go 4-1, you're a winner.
There you go.
There you go. And I'll make sure I tweet these at you guys. It'll be my first tweet in years, but I'll send it your way.
All right, kid. All right, thanks.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Ty.
All right. There you have it. A lot of information right there from Ty.
Pretty convincing. Good information. Gives you a little bit more to think about. I know I liked Georgia from his picks. I had that marked down, but didn't make my list. But
well, what did you think? What were your thoughts on some of those picks? I mean, I thought the thing. Well, go ahead.
Okay, I mean, I really don't like a lot of points. Like, that's just a major thing. Some people are comfortable with it. I know there's this kid in Vegas who goes big on Oklahoma, goes big on Oklahoma and Ohio State pretty much all the time. And yeah. I mean, some of the times it pans out, but others you really don't know. Just a lot of points is scary.
It is a lot of points. And I'll say that that's the one thing about the Oklahoma game that kind of really throws me off. I mean, UCLA, not a great team. Oklahoma, very good team. That's still, I mean,
that's a lot of points. And so is the Bama game.
I hate Chip Kelly, though. I hope they beat him by more than 30 points, whatever it is, because I can't stand that bum. But two picks that he said – I actually have as well, Mike. Can I roll those right now?
Yeah, that's
all right. Alabama and Georgia. The 36 and Alabama laying 36.5 points. That's what I have it at versus Arkansas State. I just think Tua is too much. I mean, I think that Alabama, kind of going along with what Ty said, they are, you know, hands down the most talented team in the country, and they finally have a capable, athletic, playmaking quarterback.
Saban's been known to, like, pull the reins off when he's playing these inferior opponents, you know, like, pump the brakes a little bit. But that's the only thing. Like, typically, I would probably be on the other side, but this time it's like that. They are so, they can score points in so many ways.
I think they beat my 42. They are pumping the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, you very well could be right. But I'm wondering if Jalen Hurts even plays.
You know, he might. If he doesn't play this game, that means he's probably taking, you know, probably going to sit out the rest of the season, get his graduate transfer and play 2 years somewhere else next year.
Yeah.
I can see that happening for sure. But regardless, whether he plays or doesn't play, I don't think it's going to change us unless he puts
it in. It could. I mean, you put him in there, he's going to want to score points and be competing against Tua the same way. So that's my thoughts on it.
But, I mean, I just think that any – it is. That's a good point. But I just think Tua is going to – he's going to try to put up points regardless. I think he's too talented.
And they will, because they just – the talent is so much
different. From what you saw week one, I was, you know, pretty impressed with what we saw. Secondly, I do agree with him on Georgia. I think Georgia's a great team. Like you said about Jake Fromm, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the conference, if not, you know, probably behind Tua, probably the best.
No, he's just
But, I mean, Auburn. Georgia, 12-5 against the spread, 5-2 as a road favorite over their last, you know, whatever that'd be, 17 games. I don't know. I see Georgia and the under. I'm not going to take the under, but I think Georgia wins 31-13 is what I kind of had it. I just think Jake Bentley, not a good quarterback from USC, South Carolina. I just don't see him. I don't see him as being a quarterback that can score on this Georgia defense. And I don't know. I'm not a Bill Muschamp fan. I just can't stand the guy.
I don't think the record reflected the team that they had last year. It was probably a little bit inflated, so they will take a couple losses and probably be similar.
I will say this about South Carolina. 7-2-1 against the spread
in
the last 10 games.
A lot of close games.
But I do think that changes this week. I think they're going to think that, you know, Georgia's going to handle them pretty easily.
And I'm on board.
I'm going to go give you my third pick from the college ranks. It pains me to say this. I got the Gators laying 14 points at home versus Kentucky.
Wow.
I just see Felipe Franks, their quarterback. I mean, granted, they played Charleston Southern last week. 5 touchdown passes. I don't think that he's got, you know, I don't. Doesn't tell you anything, but they were looking pretty good last week, pretty smooth. Dan Mullen, I mean, this is kind of like his first SEC game as a Florida head. This is his first SEC game as a Florida head coach. 7:30 at the Swamp. Kentucky has lost to Florida, I believe, 30 straight years. I mean, that is like
Do you know who Kentucky's quarterback is?
Yes, I do. It is
because I thought that kid was like pretty universal.
Terry Wilson.
Yeah.
Last week he was 11 of 18, 78 yards and 2 picks. And that was versus...
They said he played better than what they thought he would.
Yeah,
so.
That was versus Central Michigan. And that's a good game for him. So poor quarterback play. 1-10 against the spread. Their most recent 11 games on grass for Kentucky. 2-10 overall against the spread last year. Good running team. Just don't see it happening. Florida, 9-2 versus spread. The last 11 meetings versus Kentucky. I think everything kind of leads into Florida kind of handling Kentucky this week. I'll take Florida by probably 3 touchdowns. The line's 14.
Dang. Okay. Is that your last college game?
That's my last college game.
Do you want to hear mine?
Yeah, let's go with yours. We're going to keep rolling with these picks here.
Okay. So I got two. I'm sticking to the NFL. College isn't my thing, but these two kind of stuck out to me. First one, we'll do the UB Bulls getting 4.5.
Shout out, Wills.
Yeah, getting against Temple. Like, I would have liked it a little bit better if Temple didn't get upset last week by Villanova. Kind of get a letdown spot, but it's all the same. They're not a good team. I think the Bulls are an undervalued team at 4.5. The line's trending down, but I would get it while you can.
Is that game at the Link?
It's at Temple.
Does Temple play? Is it at Lincoln Financial Field in Philly?
I would think that it is.
Really nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. I have to say, you know. I typically don't do this, but I do agree with you on this one.
Okay. Well, I got one more for college.
Okay.
And it's Scott Frost and the Huskers.
You are just kissing his ass.
against
Wilson's a big Nebraska fan, if you don't know. So just okay, keep going.
Amon Green told me to take this one, but Nebraska. I think they start the year off strong and maul the Buffaloes. And
what's the line on that one?
It is 3.5. Now it's down to 3.5. It was at 4, 4.5. So there is action going on Nebraska.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you like that so much?
Just because the way that the line moves, and then I'm looking at Colorado.
So this is completely trend related.
Yeah. I mean, I say you want to start off. This is Nebraska's first home game.
This is Nebraska's first game.
First game, first home game. They lucked out not playing Akron last week. But
here's the thing. Here's what I'd say about that. I mean, Nebraska really, they don't have a tune-up game. I mean, and I know, I mean, when you got a young team like that, Adrian Martinez.
They got an extra week of practice.
He's a freshman quarterback. I mean, you don't need practice. You need game reps. You have a freshman. They have one scholarship quarterback, Adrian Martinez, former Tennessee commit. Scott Frost stole him. I mean, we're not going to get into that right now, but they have one quarterback. I mean, I just feel that this is a – I do agree with you. I think Nebraska being at, you know, at being in Lincoln.
Yeah, I don't care if it's Pedro Martinez. They'll be fine.
It's still a freshman quarterback. I think they're very impressed with his maturity and everything like that. And I think Scott Frost is – I mean, he probably does a great job handling quarterbacks, I assume. But that is –
this is on him. This is his shining moment right now.
I mean, this is probably,
you want to get some attention. Go big first game.
He's been waiting for that too. And I mean, but still though, you know, you're going up against an established program in Colorado.
They covered last week. I know
we covered last week, but versus a very poor Colorado State team. But this is one of those things. I'm just going to say, you know, betters beware. You know, when you have you don't know what to expect from Nebraska. I mean, you think you do, but I still feel like you don't.
I'm
not you. I'm just talking.
In general. Yeah. No. But that's the same thing with everything. First week of season. So.
Yeah. You got to outsmart. That's your one chance to outsmart Vegas. Pretty much. You got to go through gut. That's your best bet to outsmart Vegas. I think if you think you got it. But you know what? Stamp.
Give me
stamp
the
it. Yeah. Steal it. It's already on there.
That's it.
All right. So
that was my two picks. My two college picks. We'll get in the NFL a little later on.
Well, let's jump into the NFL right now.
All right.
Okay.
All
so
right.
You want to? What do you want to do here? You want to go with our? Well, to finish the show out, we're going to discuss our season totals.
Yeah. Some team totals.
And kind of discuss that. Just kind of briefly discuss the NFL. And we have two more picks of our five. Well, Eric has three more. I have two more.
Yes.
Might as well just go with my two picks first.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Finish it out. So. I was kind of talked into this one by a good friend. Go with the Falcons.
Oh.
At home Thursday night. And Eric, I'll let you. You've done all the research on this one. I'll let you expand on that one. But I just some brief points that kind of stuck out with me. I think a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover effect for the Philadelphia Eagles. The little I've seen Nick Foles play this preseason. Eric, you kind of talked about this with me earlier off the air.
Accuracy was a struggle, yeah, which has kind of been his thing. But he was kind of all over the place. And you could see, like, there was frustration with the offense not being what they thought or what they would hope for. And the line's already down to one. I could see it honestly being a pick-em tomorrow. But starting at 4.5, a lot of money coming in on the Falcons. And rightfully so. I think the Eagles are going to have a hard time scoring points. The defense is still very good. But that's only saying it's gonna be a close game. And with that, I take the underdog.
I take the underdog, too. And, I mean, like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a pick 'em either. And we're talking about a Falcons team who's, you know, 2 years removed from blowing the biggest Super Bowl lead.
28-3.
This is a very, very good Atlanta Falcon team. Playing on the road doesn't really scare me in this one. They're a veteran team.
Are you concerned they didn't win a preseason game?
Not at all. The Browns won 4 last year, if you remember.
Oh, and how many? But they finished the season with
zilch.
Okay,
nada. So okay. I do like the Atlanta Falcons in this one.
All right, what's your other one then?
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go.
Oh, ooh, God.
Ooh, here we go, Brownies.
Drinking
here
the Kool-Aid.
I am drinking the Kool-Aid. Browns. Right now, what I got it at the start of the show was Browns. Getting 4.5 points.
Okay, we'll take that line with you then.
Okay, I'll take that line with me. I don't think it will go. I don't think it will go up from that. But I think 4.5 points. What do you have it at?
No, that's pretty much what it was. What it's been. But okay. Let me see. Yeah, 4, 4.5.
Okay, so 4.5 points. My reason being, as we kind of briefly discussed earlier, this is a whole new Browns team. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid as I think the Browns are. Really going to cause. I don't know. I don't think they're a playoff team. I do think that they are going to be a competitive team, though. And I think week one kind of, you know, I don't know. You got the new juices flowing. You got pretty much a whole new regime.
Yeah. Minus the head coach. It's the biggest game.
The biggest game that they've had in, you know, a long time.
They have a chance here to shut up a lot of people and kind of move the needle to the other direction.
Absolutely. And the absence of Le'Veon Bell, it's huge. Don't underestimate that. I think that's absolutely huge. So, I don't know. I just think Myles Garrett could get after Ben Roethlisberger. Grant, you remember last year, he didn't play. He never faced Ben. And he talked all that crap going into the NFL about how, you know, his job is to kind of sack Ben. And, I mean, if you've seen this guy play at all in the preseason, he is an animal.
Yes.
I think freak. A freak. So, I mean, I think it's a whole new defense. The offense concerns me for the Browns yet again. But I do think it's still an improved offense that if they can take care of the ball, they'll be in there at the end of the game. I can see them making it a field goal game. I think the winner wins or loses by field goal in this one.
Okay. So you're covering.
So I'm covering either way. So I'm going to say, you know, I don't have a ton of confidence that they'll win the game because good teams find ways to finish.
And it's
the Browns. So I'm going to say Browns plus 4.5 is a safe bet at this point.
Okay. I like it. I don't hate it. I'm always in favor of the points. But I'll get into my NFL picks. I like the Falcons, but I'm not going to take that pick. I will take the under in that game, under 45.
Okay.
So same game.
That's the first under bet we've had so far.
Yeah, getting into some totals. I think the under would be a good way to go. I think first game of the year, still feeling some things out, getting used to who's where. But like I said before, Philadelphia's going to have a hard time scoring points, and Atlanta will at the same time just because that defense is so good being in Philadelphia. I could see it being 14-17, not a lot of points getting scored there. And then I'll move on to my fourth pick. Fourth pick, I will take the Los Angeles Chargers at home and giving 3 points to the Chiefs. I think the Chargers, I've said it what's probably.
What's the over-under in that game?
The over-under, yeah, the over-under is 48, so it moved slightly up a bit. But
rookie quarterback.
It's a good defense. They have a very good secondary. They have very good D linemen. They're going to get pressure. It's going to be an experience. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he looked good in the time that he played last year, but I can't say I'm sold yet. And then going on the road,
the one thing that scares me though, they got some weapons. They got some serious weapons.
They do.
Tyreek Hill. I mean, the addition of Sammy Watkins. You got the. Still, you know, Kareem Hunt. I mean, granted, he kind of fell off towards the end of the season last year, but still, NFL leading rusher. They got. Some
I'll lean defense in that respect, then, and take the team with the better defense, and that's the Chargers. I mean, the Chiefs, I think, were at one point a dominant defense, but not so much anymore. Yeah. Lost a lot of pieces.
All right. Last pick, fifth and final pick.
Last pick will be the Carolina Panthers, giving 3 to the Dallas Cowboys. So Carolina's at home. I think they will rebound from a little bit of an off year last year, get back in the playoffs. I know the Cowboys are kind of beat up along the offensive line. They run until they have to pass, pretty much mantra, and I don't think that's going to work out well. I think Carolina is going to pretty much dominate this game up front.
And outside, I mean, who's the best receiver for the Cowboys? Allen Hurns?
Yeah, honestly.
I mean, that's a
problem. I mean, I love Allen Hurns, but that's a problem.
I mean, that's a problem. I mean, you're talking about...
And then an inaccurate quarterback.
For the Jags. Inaccurate quarterback. I mean, the only thing they really got going for right now is Ezekiel Elliott, as you said, with a banged-up offensive line. So, I mean, I do like that bet, too.
Yeah.
But I guess... I don't know, but the Panthers are so... like you said last year, so unpredictable.
Should have gotten the playoffs, but...
Apparently you liked them in the season, which kind of transitions us to our season win totals here coming up for the NFL season. I guess starting off, Eric...
well, let me... you're all high and mighty on the Browns, so let's see if you like that one. 5.5?
Browns 5.5. I will go with the over.
You think they get 6 or more?
I think they get 6 or more
Can you
wins.
Put a specific number on that?
I think that they're going to be... I mean, they have a very, very tough schedule. I know they're playing the NFC South and the AFC South, which AFC South really doesn't scare you too much. Not the AFC South. They're playing the NFC South for sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't have their schedule in front of me. But the NFC South, probably the toughest division in football. That's what kind of shies me away from them, thinking that they can do, you know, much more than, I'm going to say 7 wins, 7-9 football team.
Wow. That's a hell of a rebound.
It is a hell of a rebound, but it's a whole new team. You can't really compare this team they have this year to last year's team. I mean, how many new faces they have in that locker room. So I'm going to say seven, seven wins, and I'd say that's about expected out of this group. I mean, with what you the money you sunk into it, and you know the hype around John Dorsey and these guys, I think they should expect seven wins.
Okay, I will go with the Minnesota Vikings team total over 10 wins. They're in a tough division, but that team is so good. Yeah. It really is.
Mike Zimmer's there too now.
Zimmer's a great head coach, and it's only a matter of time before they get to the big game. Could have been last year. They didn't blow it. Getting to a Super Bowl in their home stadium would have been nice, but it pains me to say it as a Packers fan, but in the same way, I'm kind of hoping I jinx it to over 10 wins.
Okay, I'm going to say – I'm going to agree with you and say over there, and you still didn't give me what you think for the Browns are going to be, over 5.5.
Ugh.
Over under 5.5.
We'll say over. They go 6-10.
Okay. Let's just keep going. Rapid fire here.
Yeah.
Atlanta Falcons over under 9. That can't be. Yeah, 9. Yeah. They're a 10-win team last year.
Yeah. It's a tough division. That's what – I mean, it's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah.
It really is. And
that's a good – that's a good line right there. I'm going to say over. I'm going to say they're a 10-6 football team.
Yeah. I couldn't say because that's a toss up, and I'd probably stay away from it.
Right, I'm gonna keep these going here. So you're, what do you? Well, you got to pick.
Oh, we got to pick it.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm picking it, then I will take. I'll take the over.
Okay, so we're both getting the over there. All right. Now, what probably about push. Ravens? Eight wins. I'm going under for 8. I think this is the year that the Ravens. What they do last year? Ravens won 9 games last year.
Yeah, and I mean it'd be tough. I think they probably end up pushing there. I think they're 8-8 again.
But. Here's my bold prediction of the year. The Browns climb out of the basement this year, and the Ravens slip down there.
Wow.
You don't
think Flacco?
No. I'm not a Flacco believer. I'm not a Lamar Jackson believer. I don't believe much in the Ravens. So I'm going to say they're a 5-6-win football team. I'm going to say under.
Okay. One's a little interesting. I thought was the Colts.
You can't skip the Bills.
You're right. The Bills?
Bills.
Okay.
We're going alphabetically here. Bills, 6? Over under 6.
Give me the under.
I'm taking the under, too. Sorry, Bills. I'm taking the under, too. I just think, you know, I mean, when you're strolling out Nate Peterman as your opening day quarterback, you can't have too much faith in that team.
No, they can't. I think they struggled to put some type of highlight clip together for him. But, I'd go under on that one.
Well, let's keep moving right down. We'll just give a quick – you want to give a quick
– Yeah, get one with a half point on there just okay. So we have some for sure winners.
All right. Let's see here. The Detroit Lions, 7.5.
I'm going to take the under.
I am going to take the over. I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say they're a 7-win team.
They need to figure out an identity somewhere on that team. It could be Kerryon Johnson, but
I'm going to take the over just so we don't have the same one there. I'm going to say they're an 8-win team.
Okay.
I think they're flirting right around that 7.
They always are.
Yeah, they always are. That's like as long as I can remember. Green Bay Packers, 10.
I think that's pretty spot on. Barring a disaster like last year, they should go over though.
So you feel pretty confident in it?
No, I don't. That's why I think 10's a good number.
Okay, so you going over or under?
10.
Can you I push? Get... Your, no, you got to give me over or under. That's the name of the game.
Oh, we'll go over then.
Okay, I'm gonna go under. I'm gonna say that they are a 9-7 football team, probably wow. Wild card team. Houston Texans, 8.5.
8.5. That's a tough one. When they were healthy, they played really, really well. But we'll get a first glimpse right at the gate. They're playing the Patriots, so I mean, you get a kind of good feel. But
I guess it really falls on Deshaun Watson's shoulders.
Oh, 100%.
That's kind of not any earth-shattering news. But
I think their defense is still good too. I love the addition of Tyrann Mathieu.
And a healthy JJ Watt can go a long way too.
Yeah.
I'll say the over. I'll say they're a 9. I think they're a 9-win team. I mean, I think 8.5 is a pretty good line right there.
9 would usually win that division.
But yeah, they could this year. I mean,
them in Jacksonville, which is crazy for us to say it, but.
So here's Jacksonville is over-under is a 9. Yeah. They were a 10-win team last year, obviously. Made some noise in the playoffs last year. Beat Pittsburgh on the road. 9 wins. I mean, can you go over both these guys? I think so.
And beat them at home, but yeah.
I'll say they're a 10-win football team. And beat them at home.
Yeah. It's hard to go against them.
One more time, and beat them at home.
Yes.
So a 9-win team or 9 over under. I got to go over too with the defense. It's like I mean the only thing that's making me not. I know you're a big fan of him, Blake Bortles.
Yeah, it's tough. I can't put my faith into him. I got to go under.
Okay. all right. Then we're going on. Moving on to Los Angeles. We'll just do some 9.5 for the Los Angeles Chargers. Thoughts on that?
I like it. I like the over. Give me 10.
I like the under. Give me 9. I'll take 9.
Wow. Over for the Chargers.
Okay, I'll go under.
Okay.
Los Angeles Rams at 10.
It's going to be tough. They put a lot of additions in. They put all their eggs into this basket of a season. So
I mean, it's a lot of, yeah.
Got to go big here. I'd say I don't think they get it done.
So you're going under?
Yeah, I'd say under.
I'll say under as well, too. Miami Dolphins, 6.5. I'm going to go under. I think they're terrible.
I feel like every year
it's like... they're a 6-win team.
No, but this is Tannehill's year. I think he gets it figured out. With that being said, it's going to be under.
Okay. The J-E-T-S, Jets. Last year, 5-win team. This year, new addition, Sam Darnold. And shout-out to Schmitty. I saw your tweet, and I am... To answer your question, Schmitty, I am all about Sam Darnold. I think he is...
This is dangerous.
I think the Jets are making the right decision, starting the best quarterback out from the get-go. You can make an argument that the Browns are not, starting Tyrod Taylor and keeping Baker Mayfield on the bench. But I think that Sam Darnold, watching from what I've seen in preseason, earned the job. I think why not start him? You got a great mentor, Josh McCown, to kind of lead him along the way. Jets, with that being said, I think can be a 9-win football team, 8-9 football team this year. I really do believe that. They have a lot of nice pieces. One of the best. I mean, spent a lot of money in free agency.
I mean, they were projected last year.
Yeah, but this is the whole. Last year, everyone thought
the season total was like 4.5.
Everyone thought they were trying to tank for Sam Darnold, and somehow he fell to him at 3. Still,
yeah.
I mean, they had to move up a little bit, but still, they fell to him at 3. But the additions of Trumaine Johnson, Avery Williamson, a couple new additions in Terrell Pryor. Not that he anything great, but you got a few new pieces,
And I think Darnold will be fine too. Just keep him away from Jen Sturger, maybe for the time being.
Yeah. Shout out to Brett Favre. But nice, over under 6, I'm going to say Jets over.
Okay. I'll say under.
Okay. New Orleans Saints, 9.5. I'm going to say over.
I like that team a lot. I'm going over.
Okay. New England Patriots, 11.
Under.
I am going to go.
God, never mind. It's got to go over. That like division.
I don't want to bet against them.
That division stinks.
Here's an interesting one. New York Giants at 7.
It's interesting. A year removed from a playoff appearance, and then last year they finish 2-3 wins.
Three wins last year.
So I do. I think the team that they had last year was actually good. They just never got it together. I think they go over.
Okay, and I don't think we touched on this one. You mentioned it. The Indianapolis Colts at 6.5.
Yeah, it's just a weird one to me, but that's saying Andrew Luck is 2.5 games or. Equivalently, 3 games if you take the over. Better with them than Jacoby Brissett. And I can't see it. I say it's going to be close, but I can't see he means that much to him. Jacoby Brissett's a good backup, so I mean, I can't see it that being that different.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to do this, but I got to agree with you. I mean, I don't know. It depends if he's healthy. I mean, if you get a healthy Andrew Luck throughout the season, he still is one of the.
And they still have some. They still have some pieces there.
Yeah, they do have some pieces. I mean,
Jack Doyle.
That's on a fantasy note, T.Y. Hilton. That's a guy that I kind of wanted. I he's taken right before me in all my drafts. I think he could have a big season here. All right, well, I think that's about it for us today, guys. Great show. We want to thank Ray Santo and Tyler, second biggest ball fan I know, Majeski on. Great having you guys on. Great insight.
You guys said we couldn't get 2 guests on in 1 show. We did it.
We did. All in under an hour, too. So, guys, keep listening. Blow the Whistle Podcast. We are on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe so you can get the episode immediately when we finish up and post it. And furthermore, follow us on Twitter at Eric.
BTW_pod.
Yeah, at BTW_pod. And we'll keep our picks and everything posted on there. Until then, guys, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.
Thanks, guys.